Want access to search and listen to the entire webmasterradio.fm archive of over 1,500 podcasts commercial-free? Just become a webmasterradio.fm elite member for less than 99 cents a day. Otherwise, the last 60 days of content are on the house. Webmasterradio.fm. We're everywhere.
Are your domains working hard enough for you? Now, park your portfolio at RevenueDirect.com to maximize your earnings on traffic. With RevenueDirect's proven domain monetization service, you'll experience better payouts, more options, and smart optimization. Sign up free now at RevenueDirect.com. It's that easy. RevenueDirect. Make more money. Period.
Feeling better? Looking better? Making life better. It's Life Tips. We'll explore the latest innovations, introduce you to the latest products, and bring you the tips from experts and environmental pioneers to help you lead a better life. Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, wiser. Welcome your hosts, Byron White and Amanda Smith.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Happy to have you on the show. Look forward to another great show with you. I would love to chime in with Mandy and see how you're doing. Mandy, how are you, Mandy?
Hey, happy almost Halloween.
I understand we're going to have some festivities in the office here, and you guys have secretly got together and have some apple bobbing plans or something crazy for us. Maybe
yes,
not that.
Apple bobbing merriment, yes. If you enjoy fun, I would hope everyone attends this party. It's going to be pretty good. I'm excited.
Well, we're going to dive right in with our guest in a few minutes, but I have a really funny story for you with how I met our guest and before he chimes in. We'll take a break before he comes on. But I was at a trade show, an international book expo, actually, probably 3 years ago. And I was walking around the enormous football field size conference show floor, and I passed by a booth with a gentleman that had a putting green, basically, for his trade show booth, whereupon I stopped and began chatting with Dr. James Payne and learned a little bit about why he was there. He was there signing a book that he had just published, which is very exciting, on putting. And he was a lovely gentleman, didn't think too much of it, met a lot of people there. He gave me a copy of his book, and I went back and actually read his book and absolutely changed my golf game. So I am thrilled to have him on the show today and for you to have set him up. So we're going to talk golf. He has another book as part of the PeopleWise series, not only on putting, but on selling and on brain-to-brain. He's a fascinating gentleman. So let's take a break right now and come back with Dr. James Payne. We'll be back in just a few minutes, everyone.
Life Tips will be right back after this short break.
Need help improving your PPC campaigns? Tired of spending all your time swamped with spreadsheets and manual updates? Turn to Adapt SEM software to optimize your campaigns and to reach your goals. Adapt SEM is one of the most affordable and reliable tools on the market for improving PPC campaigns. Adapt SEM not only optimizes your bids, but also gives you keyword suggestions, competitive research, and helps to test ads, all in one place at flat rate pricing and no long-term commitments. Learn how Adapt SEM can help manage your PPC campaigns better. Check out our free webinar at adapt.com/webmasterradio. Sign up now for a free personal tour. adapt.com/webmasterradio.
Hey, what are you reading?
Revenue Magazine. It keeps me up to date on everything in performance marketing.
Yeah, I get all my information online.
I don't see a computer next to your boogie board there.
Well, I've got a regular magazine here.
Revenue Magazine is the only hard copy magazine that covers affiliate marketing techniques, search technologies, online fraud prevention, and interactive advertising, branding, and marketing.
My magazine's got pictures.
Revenue Magazine has everything for online marketers, affiliates, merchants, agencies, and networks. And you can read previous issues, blogs, and more at RevenueToday.com.
Mine's got a centerfold.
Revenue Magazine, the performance marketing standard. For more information, go to RevenueToday.com.
And now back to Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, and wiser. Here are your hosts.
Welcome back to the show, everyone, and welcome our guest today, Dr. James Payne. Welcome, Dr. Payne.
Thank you.
And of course, there are many jokes about having a name Dr. Payne, which we won't have time to go into.
Okay, all right.
But we understand you're a Fulbright scholar and a fascinating individual, and it's good to be chatting with you again. Do you remember meeting me some time ago?
I do remember that. That was about 3 years ago. I'm surprised that you gave me a call and that you remembered me, and I'm thrilled.
Well, you know, you probably met literally hundreds, if not thousands, of people at that show. But we're here to talk with you about your series of books. Tell us a little bit about your series, and we'd love to hear more about your methodologies on making yourself wise with people.
Okay, all right. I have been working on this system or theory for about 35 years, and the first book that I came out with, which explains the theory sort of in depth, it's called People Wise Brain to Brain. It's about 200 pages, but it gets pretty much into it, but it's an easy read and it's a fast read. Then the next book that we did was People Wise Putting, which was how you use the theory in improving a skill, and this skill happened to be putting. And then we came out with the third book called People Wise Selling, The Art of Selling Brain to Brain, which would be how you really sort of assist people in their own buying, and because we found that different people prefer to be handled in different ways. So that's really what it boils down to.
And can you tell us a little bit about the overall improvement that one can begin to experience by tapping into some of your theory and some of your understanding with human nature?
What we found out is as an individual begins to understand that they are not necessarily the same as everybody else. In other words, most people, when they teach or they counsel or they coach or they manage in the way that they have been managed or the way that they prefer to be managed. Now, that's fine as long as the other people are in sync with that. But what we find is many people prefer to be dealt with in an entirely different way, and then once they understand how these ways fall out, which there's basically just four, and then they begin to understand themselves a little better, and then also how they may be able to really develop some skill in terms of working with others, primarily interpersonal skills.
And let's have you walk us through the four ways that people fall out, if you will, and get profiled in your world of analysis here.
Sure. There are many instruments out there, like the DISC instrument or the power management, Myers-Briggs, any of these. But what this does with PeopleWise, it works as if it's developmental as opposed to, we'll say, on a continuum of task, no task, or people, no people. And what it is the what we call left brainers, which would be level fours. These are individuals that prefer to be dealt with by a step-by-step process, sequence, first things first, sort of. They want things logical, practical, repetitious. And then right brainers, which would be level fives, they prefer more novelty and change, cause and effect. They're sort of result-oriented. They like outcome-based. They like a little bit of theory. And then what we call front brainers, these would be level sixes. They prefer to be more empathetic. They're more sensitive. They're more feeling-oriented. They like to be engaged in the process. They like to have harmony. And then we have rear brainers, which are a little bit rare. There's only about 3% of the population that we would identify as rear brainers, although in sport we're finding them use more and more techniques on rear braining. But these would be people that are inner-directed. They've conquered fear. They thrive on risk. They're complex thinkers. Some people have referred to them as no-limit people. They're very process-oriented. They're at peace with themselves. One of the things that distinguishes them, though, is they can have peak experiences almost on demand. And a peak experience is a MUGA, And a muga is a Japanese-based word that means experiencing something wholeheartedly. Everybody experiences it, but they can bring it on demand. So those are really the four basic types.
Hmm. And is the goal and objective to try to quickly identify the characteristics of who you're communicating with and therefore adapt your communication to them in a manner that is read better and learned better and communicated better?
Absolutely. What you're going to try to do is, very early in the process, you want to know which is the way that they prefer to be dealt with, whether it's being taught, sold, managed, led, doesn't make any difference. But you're trying to figure out which is the best way to that they want to be dealt with. That's correct.
Hmm. Now, transcend us to the internet world. And this could be your category, your topic for your next book. But can you imagine profiling individuals that buy on the web or make purchases or fill out forms and bring these character, you know, these markers and these tags on people that you've identified to the web world where a conversion happens?
I'm not too sure if you could. What happens if you're face-to-face, it's a little bit easier to do once you're trained just a little bit. It's a little bit easier to do. But you could do it on the web, non-face-to-face, by looking at maybe what they've previously done. And what you're looking at is how they go about purchasing the item as well as what the items are. Now, let me give you an example. For instance, front brainers, level sixes, they're going to be looking for items that have more to do with ecology, that they feel like things are comfortable, that they're not really interested in the style, so to speak. They want to make sure that it sort of fits for them. Now, if you take a right brainer, on the other hand, they're going to want products that sort of are extensions of their body. They sort of like to, I'm going to use the word show off, but that's maybe a little bit overemphasized, but they like themselves, and they want things to sort of express who they are. They're a little more flashy, I guess. Left brainers, on the other hand, they're going to sort of go with what other people are doing. They're going to be sort of more traditional in that way. So you'd have to sort of look at what they've purchased, and then if you get them on the phone, you know, they're going to tip themselves off right away because they're going to tell you what they want.
And this would be really helpful to the webmasters of the world that are listening into the show.
Absolutely. For instance, if you've got a website, okay, if you've got a website,
images. I was going to ask you for images, right?
Okay.
Could you give us some examples of images that would appeal to the four different groups of people?
I sure can. In fact, we've done a lot in developing for companies brochures. Okay, and we've done a few websites, and what you have to do is you have to determine, do you want to go with your niche, okay, as to what fits, or are you going to try to broaden your niche? Let me try to answer this in a couple of ways. For instance, if a person hires us to come in and sort of do some marketing for them, some strategy, what we do is we will have the customers that are repeat customers or loyal customers fill out an instrument. And on that instrument, it'll sort of tell us, you know, whether they're fours, fives, sixes, or sevens. Okay, then what we do is then we do the same thing with management as well as the employees that are dealing directly with the customer. And what we find, especially among smaller companies, they have a tendency to hire people like themselves, and then lo and behold, the customers are a lot like themselves. And then what we do is then we say, well, do you want to go deeper into that same constituency, or do you want to broaden out to maybe a different type of constituency? Mm-hmm. And so when you're talking about images, as an example, for instance, with the left-brainers, level four, they're going to want to see things very traditional, very plain. They like for things to be numbered or bullet, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They don't want a lot of stuff on there. Now, with the level fives, on the other hand, the right-brainers, they're going to want maybe things more that are going to be moving, or maybe music in there, or they're going to want to have things that are going to be more, that they're going to persuade them, that it's going to sort of lure them or grab them or bring them in. The level where the complication comes in is, we'll say, with the level four, if you get too cute, it scares them off. Okay, with the level five, they're willing to take, they're willing to go out there a little bit. The level sixes, on the other hand, for instance, we've done a lot. They don't like things in black and white. They prefer things in green or brown. If you're doing, and then of course, if you've got background in there that sort of shows a sunset or an ocean, those types of things. And then, of course, the only thing that's difficult is when you get in the rear brain. Now, remember, there's only 3% of the rear brain. The rear brainers can play all of them. In other words, we don't know how to gear anything for a rear brainer. The rear brainer is just a person that marches to their own beat or something.
Hey, Dr. Payne, just a quick question for you. But if I'm less of a Tiger Woods pro and I'm more a Happy Time mini golf type of girl,
okay.
Am I going to be able to understand the business concepts in the book?
You should. Yeah, okay. You sure could. For instance, what we find with individuals that are happy putt-putt people that go out there, they play for the fun of it, okay? And they get a kick out of it, where if the Tiger Woods type, they want to win. And so you've got different directions going on there. And your example is a great one, because if you take a happy-go-lucky sort of easy person, the thing is interesting, on the golf course, they play slower, and this upsets those people that want to get moving. And so you run into a little bit of a conflict on a golf course, because the level sixes, they're there for the camaraderie, they're there for the socialization as they're playing with other people, where the level fives or the rear brainers, level sevens, they're out there to get things done, and they want to get done in a hurry.
With your marketing effort, we're now Mandy's really in tune because she can relate to you on the putt-putt level. So, thank you.
Well, listen, that's a great example. That's a great example.
This is,
and another thing
stuff.
Is, we'll say with the putt-putt example, you're going to find that if you go to a putt-putt place and they're bringing their children in and they're working with their children, a lot of times that's left-brainers. In other words, they have fun working with their children real big. But now the right-brainers, on the other hand, they even want to beat their children. In other words, they want to score better. It's the darndest thing you ever saw.
On the concept of the sectional brain approach, which is kind of how this is being simplified, what causes people to have development variables, if you will, on different parts of their brain? Because I assume you're talking about a literal development
aspect
of the brain.
We're getting the idea of right brain, left brain, forebrain, rear brain. We're getting this from work that's been done by Amy Hoffler and Bradley Hatfield out of the University of Maryland. And what they've done is they have worked with very skilled people that would be like marksmen shooting rifles. They're into sort of Olympian-type things. Mm-hmm. And what they've done is they've also looked at novices. Now, here's the interesting thing, how the brain situation works, is with the unskilled person, when they're playing, before they execute the task, and let's say they're fairly serious about the task. In other words, they're trying to accomplish something, whether they're trying to get better at ballroom dancing or they're throwing darts or they're shooting pool, but they're fairly serious. In other words, they want to get a lot better. Mm-hmm. What you find out is just prior to the execution of the skill, the brain fires, and they call that brain activation. Mm-hmm. Now, with the unskilled novice person, the brain fires, it's scattered. But with the highly skilled individual, we'll say as high as the Olympian, what you find out is the brain is firing in a more localized area. Now, if you get them up where they get into the zone or the flow, then the brain fires about the size of a dime. And, of course, what PeopleWise does is, when we're dealing with a skill like PeopleWise putting, we're trying to strive to get them closer to the zone is what we're trying to do. Now, the difference is that we're finding out that not everybody's brain fires in the same place. Some fire left, some fire right, some fire forward, some fire in the rear. And then that's where this people-wise comes in, because once we can identify that, we can come up with strategies for doing it four different ways. Mm-hmm. Most of the time when people are working on skill development, they only know one way to teach it, and that's the way they learn best. And right. almost with every skill, especially if it has to do with the mental part of the game, it can be done four different ways.
Mm-hmm. Let's dive into the sales world. We all want to try to help improve our sales.
Okay.
And everyone's really a salesperson, I like saying it at our company and every company, right? It starts from the way people are greeted over the phone, and it might end with a president of the company making a closing rebuttal negotiation with a price. How do you translate this into the sales profession?
Let me give you some examples about how we stumbled onto this. I was invited to do some work with an automobile dealership in Savannah, Georgia, and they were high-end product people. And what they did is they sold like Buicks, BMWs, Mercedes, but they also had Volkswagen and Subaru, and at that time they had Datsun, which is now Nissan. And but they were real well on the high end, but on the lower priced vehicles they were lost their market share. And so what we did is we very simply went in and we administered, which in all of the PeopleWise series of books, there will be a little paper pencil test in there. It's pretty simple to do. Now, we have other more sophisticated means, but we take a thing that a person can fill out in a matter of 3 or 4 minutes, and we can get a pretty rough idea of about what they prefer. Well, what we found out is on the high end, those would be what we would call right-brainers, level fives, okay, and they were no-nonsense people. They would come in, they wanted to be sold, and they went through a regular selling cycle, a regular step program, and it worked perfect. But then when we started getting in, we'll take Volkswagen as an example. That was a real thing for us. We found out that we had the same type salesperson selling in Volkswagen, but when we administered the instrument to the customers that were coming in the door, even those that we lost, what we found out is they were front-brainers. And what happened is they didn't want to be dealt with so directly. In fact, we found out that they would not buy on their first trip in. In other words, they wanted to shop around. And so what was important in the sales business, as you know, you got your thing in the automobile business, is you meet your B-backs in heaven. Well, what happens is that's great for right-brainers, and it's really great for left-brainers. But in the four-brainers, they're not going to buy no matter what that first time in. They're feeling the place out. And usually they'll know more about the product than the salesperson does. But they're going to come back, and they will only buy from a salesperson they can relate with or they like. Now, let's say they want a certain type of Volkswagen. Okay, they're going to come in there, they're going to shop around. But let's say they don't like that salesman. They'll go across town, they'll go 100 miles, 200 miles away, buy that same product from someone, okay, that they can identify with. But let me tell you the crucial part of it is they'll also pay more. In other words, they'll pay more for a product, okay, where they can identify with the person that's dealing with them. That's the real key.
Mm-hmm.
And we did this with a large enough end that we can go into a place and predict it. In other words, we know. Mm-hmm. So what did we do? Let me tell you what we did to get our market share and to increase profitability.
Besides fire all the sales reps and hire uh-huh. other sales
so
reps with the right personality.
What we did is we trained the existing sales staff in the PeopleWise approach, which gave them some other skill. In other words, rather than trying to push the person and try to sell them, they were assisting them in buying. And then what would happen is they knew they couldn't sell them on the first time in. So what they did is they prepared them for a comeback, for a be back, and then they would follow it up. In other words, they were much softer, and they listened more. They didn't speak as much, and they asked more questions. And Let me tell you, it's almost magical how it works. We did the same thing with one of the largest companies that sell wallpaper out on the West Coast. And what we did there is we found out that all the salespeople in selling wallpaper, every one of them now, scored above the midline on level 6 front brainers. And so theirs was always where they would come in and they would sort of counsel the people that were buying the wallpaper. Well, this particular group also had high-end wallpaper, very, very expensive wallpaper, exotic wallpaper. And what they found out is those people want to be sold. They want to be convinced. They want to be dealt with more directly. They want somebody that really understands where they're coming from. And you can see it all the way from the way people dress when they walk in. Not everybody now can be, in other words, most people are a blend of two or three of these. Okay, mm-hmm. It's where you really got to zero in on the sales is when an individual tips himself off and they're what we call ultimately are almost closed. In other words, 90-95% of their thinking, acting, behaving is either right, left, front, or rear. And so that's where you really need to, because most people are open, although they'll lean in a direction, they can accept things a little bit different. But boy, let me tell you, in this day and age, you got to be much more precise. And another thing is, compared to a few years ago, the front brainers have grown in size. In other words, we have more front brainers now in the last, we'll say, 10 to 12 years than we've ever seen come into the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the training's all done with right and left brainers, fours and fives. And so it's really disruptive for a company to come in and then try to deal with a different clientele.
Mm-hmm.
And their skills have to change.
Okay, so let's suggest I'm a sales manager of a company and fascinated by this discussion, and all of my sales is phone-based, and my sales reps deal with clients on the phone. Can your methodologies be applied to phone communication, or is there important to have the one-to-one sort of kinetic matching going on?
It's pretty much where you have this theory works best if it's one-to-one, because it's based strongly on interpersonal skills. It comes out of the education realm. That's what I'm in. I'm an educator, and it has to do, you know, with coaching, teaching, that type of thing where you have hands-on. Although, when it comes to we'll say telephone. Okay, let's say cold calls, prospecting mm-hmm. on cold calls.
Yeah,
you do go through. When you're going to you're going to make sure that you're not interrupting the person. You know, am I taking you away from anything important? And then, do you have 3 minutes? Okay, you're going to go through a standard process there. But then as you're talking, then depending on the type of questions you might ask might vary if you get a sense on the phone about what do they want. For instance, if they interrupt you and are abrupt, you may want to get to the bottom line and get right on to it. If they don't interrupt, chances are you may want to be more questioning, you want to ask more questions, that type of thing. Keep in mind, when you're dealing with a person on the phone, sometimes they'll want answers. Other times, they just want to chat. In other words, they want to feel engaged. And if they're not engaged, you're going to lose them. But now remember, on that other group, they don't care whether they're engaged or not. They want an authority telling them what to do.
Mm-hmm. How important do you think it is to be enthusiastic about what you're selling? And where does that cross over into the boundaries of these four personality types? Can I be overly enthusiastic, or is it impossible? Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. With right brainers, you can't be too enthusiastic. Okay. With left brainers, more traditional people. Okay. Mm-hmm. Individuals that want these bullets, that want things 1, 2, 3, 4 down there. You can scare them away by being too enthusiastic. In other words, these are individuals oftentimes that will even walk slower. They're going to probably dress more conservative. They're individuals that want to sort of take their time, but being too enthusiastic, you can scare them off. So you have to sort of curb your enthusiasm, and I say you got to cheer down a little bit when you're dealing with the left brainers. Now, when you get to the right brainers, okay, level 5s, you can't be too enthusiastic. Now, with the four-brainers, what you want to do is your enthusiastic has to be warm, and you have to bring them into the enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm. Here's a question that I bet you cannot answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
All right, fire
away. Okay.
And I'll tell you, I won't answer it if I don't know the answer.
Well, I'd like you to try anyway, but
okay.
Can you imagine a day where, or maybe you've even seen a company that has a matchmaking facility to the process of taking a prospect customer and matching them up with the right person that should be responsible for building a relationship with that individual and eventually selling to them? Can you imagine a world like that?
We've done this in a couple of companies. Now, let me tell you how we've done this, okay, in a couple of companies. All right. What we've done is, in other words, if we have a group, if we have a sales force, okay, and we're working with this sales force, you're going to find, for the most part, traditional type salespeople, not talking about wallpaper now, we're talking about insurance, real estate, automobile sales, that type of thing. You're going to find most of the people that gravitate as salespeople in there are going to be right-brainers because they like competition, they like to work for bonuses, they like profit, they like to see themselves really getting things done, and they think they cause things to happen. Okay, so you're going to have that group. Now, if that group cannot slow down, cannot cheer down, cannot be more affective, then what we do is we try then in the hiring process to hire a different type of individual, a different type of salesperson. This would be more, let's say you'd hire more like a counselor type, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, what you do is when a person comes in, okay, and they realize I'm not hitting it off with this customer, then they turn it over to a different salesperson. And this can be done very, very early in the process. And it can be done as simple as the individual just says, excuse me, I just realized I have an appointment. I'm going to introduce you to Jim. And then you go get Jim and then introduce the customer. And you turn them over in a nice, polite way. And so, therefore, then the selling approach interfaces more closely with what the buyer is interested in doing.
Uh-huh. What salesperson
in other
be
words,
willing...
If you hire a diverse... If you hire a diverse sales staff, okay, you can turn them over. My experience, though, is this, is once people begin to understand there's profit in it, they can develop these other skills.
Yeah,
they can develop these other skills in a short period of time.
In your experience, given that it seems like there's a 25% chance of matchmaking happening in a natural way, is it better to hire a diverse portfolio of sales talent that has different skill sets?
If you hire a diverse group of salespeople, you have to have a very talented manager because you're going to have differences of opinion and you're going to have different values and they're going to operate differently. Let me give you an example. If you are hiring a sales staff and you start hiring counselor types, chances are, number one, they're going to dress different. They're going to be more